I give them a lot of credit because they use that so frequently. And that's why they have so much success. I mean, it is an iconic melody in and of itself, but it is that repetition and it is that usage. Whereas I feel like a lot of sound logo projects that come in, will get to the finish line and they'll be excited to use it. And then a month or two later, they'll be like, we're not seeing quite the results that we'd hoped. And it's like,
You're not going to see it after a month.
A, you're not going to see it after a month, but B, you got to use it consistently, and potentially in multiple places. So, no, they're, State Farm does it right.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the second part of my conversation with Connor Moore.
There's a lot of new tech coming out right now. And I know that you're probably well immersed in what's going on with AI and all of the, oh my God, there's the elephant in the room, right?
There we go.
Yeah.
There it is.
But what tech are you excited about right now? And where do you think sound design is headed?
Yeah, I think wearables is really interesting. Having voice driven experiences is really, I see a massive boom in development of that happening, obviously with the big players, but also with startups. And I think it's really interesting for our space because we have a very important role within that ecosystem. So I think that's very interesting. I'm seeing a lot. It's fascinating to see voice kind of coming back into the game a little bit. I think 5 years ago, custom, brand voices were like, I thought it was gonna explode. And then it kind of went silent, I feel like, for me at least. Others may have gotten more proposals out of this than I, but really for me in the last 3 months, I've seen several RFPs come through with requests for custom, neural voices. So
are these AI voices or
yeah.
are they actual? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's very interesting space and having a customized branded voice that can constantly adapt, and so we're seeing a lot more of that come through. But I think, yeah, I think wearables is the most exciting to me just because it's so dependent upon the audio interplay. And voice is certainly a part of that too.
Have you worked on anything like that yet, or is that in the future?
I have. I'm actually in process on a project right now. That's pretty amazing. I can't speak to it directly, but
Of course.
I got NDAs.
Yes, I get
But
it.
I did work on Google Glass whenever that was 14, 15 years ago. And that was really an amazing challenge. And actually also really shaped the way I think about sound as a communicator and an
What
in
was the challenge there?
so it had bone conduction audio. So essentially on a on the arm of the glasses.
Messages, videos, or photos. Tap on a photo to share it and choose one of your friends.
Want to take a picture? From the home screen, just say, "Okay, Glass, take a picture."
I have earbuds that
Yeah.
are exactly like that. I love it,
Yeah.
actually, because it doesn't go in my ear. It
Yeah.
doesn't like plug anything, right?
Yeah.
So,
It's
yeah.
very interesting. And I'd never worked on anything like that. So trying to do something that was, bespoke to that product experience, to that brand. And at the time, Google didn't have an in-house team or any sound design language. So we kind of started the building blocks there on that product. But I worked with a really talented, super smart engineer there that was just thinking about information communication with simple melodic concepts that that changed the way I think about simplicity in design. Because when you listen to those sounds, they're on my website, if interested, you know, they're not, they're certainly dated at this point. But the basic sequencing still holds true, you know, and the there's something good about the simplicity with those too.
How would you update it? I'm curious. Like if you were to get on that project again and you were to update it to what you would hear around now,
well,
what would you do?
I actually think it's still somewhat appropriate for Google's design language. They've kind of maintained that more, you know, simplistic, organic language overall, primary color kind of, you know, in the sound sense. So for that brand, I don't know that I would change it much. Personally, I find with technology that is as close to you as something like glasses are, it can be softer, you know, it can be more textural. You know, just even tiny tweaks like, you know, putting a little swoop in front of something percussive, some melodic percussiveness to where it kind of prepares the user.
And a decay maybe?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, just tiny stuff like that, I think goes a really long way.
Yeah. You know? I've had people on this podcast who talk about healthcare and the beeps in hospitals. And that's one of the things that's been mentioned over and over and over again, because they're very computeristic, computerized sounds, right?
Yeah.
And they sound alarming, even if it's not an alarm.
Yeah.
So part of the problem is there's no decay on these computerized sounds.
Mm-hmm.
They sound very abrupt to our ears, and that means they stress us out.
Yeah. No, 100%. You know, and in those tiny tweaks, whether it be softening the attack, lengthening the decay, adding some more textural material to soften it, it's tiny tweaks like that just, you know, really go a long way.
Yeah. I get the feeling it's kind of like putting round edges on hard angles.
That's exactly right. And that's one, that's a good call out. That's something I did for a project visually. They'd been working with another agency who crafted their sound logo to be very, it's like a square wave tone with like delay on it. And it's very perceived to be very futuristic and cold.
Is this a brand you can mention, or are you still under NDA? Or
no, this was
okay.
This was State Farm.
Okay.
So the State Farm audio logo. So yeah, essentially what happened, I was working with Wolf Olins. Well, before that, they'd been working with another agency for several months and just couldn't kind of, there was a communication challenge, I think, that you know, the audio branding agency really wasn't understanding. So they'd gotten to the final endpoint, and they kind of, State Farm had gotten this asset, that sound logo that really wasn't meeting their goals, you know, and certainly not representing their brand attributes, right? One of them was like calm and confidence and genuine empathy. These types of words do not represent square waves with delay on them, right? That's a very kind of futuristic soundscape, very cold, very dry. So for me, you know, I had 3 months to work on this project, understanding what went wrong, having stakeholder interviews, listening workshops to really get under the hood of what happened here, because, you know, the agency that worked on this is, I have a ton of respect for, they're very talented. And I knew there was a communication issue, right? So I was like, okay, I got to get under the hood, and before touching any design, I have to understand what's going on here. So that was in one of the slides, is I took a square wave and had an example. Here's what this sounds like. And then I took a sine wave, essentially shaving the edges off, like you said, had an example of that, and being like, I'm not just going to deliver a sine wave for your melody, but here's a simple tweak at a foundational level, you know, that we can add to, you know, or take away the square wave and use a sine wave as a bass level, right? And they were like, oh, already, we're already,
yeah,
you know, 65% there. So visual storytelling, you know, is super important too.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, I think we do see things. I mean, it depends on who you're talking to, obviously. People remember things in different ways. Some people are very audio oriented. Some people are very visual oriented. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sure in what you have to do with getting your point across to the people that you're trying to get to work with you, that you need to cater to however they want things to be presented.
Totally. Yeah. And so it's usually both. You know, it's like, there's a visual component, you know, a couple slides that set things up, and then the audio, you know, representation of that. You kind of got to get it up from all angles there.
Hi, I'm Jesse Flores from Intercept Music, and you're listening to the Audio Branding Podcast, a great place to learn about how powerful sound can be. If you want to understand how to harness that power in your own life, keep listening.
I also wanted to talk to you because we are also on the jury for the International Sound Awards.
Yes.
So that's how we met. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit. So when you, I don't know how long you've been doing it. How is this your first year?
Have you been doing it?
Four? Okay. So longer than me, actually, because I think this was my third year.
I think it's four. Yeah. Three or four.
Yeah. Yeah. So how are you finding that? And I'm curious as to how you got into it in the first place. Like, how did they end up inviting you to be a jury member?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Kai was just familiar with my company's work. And then I was also, when I went to the other agency, familiar with our work there. And he just hit me up, you know, asking if I'd be interested. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Happy to join. But, you know, in the 4 years, like, I've seen a ton of growth, a lot more companies submitting, you know, which is awesome. It shows there's more demand for the work, you know, and great work around that's coming from all these different agencies. So it's really cool. I mean, a lot of it is most of the work I've reviewed in the last 4 years have been more kind of traditional sonic branding, you know, with brand anthems, sound logos, variations and such. Not as much UX. I mean, there's a couple of UX studies here and there, but it's just great to be a part of that community and to hear all the cool work coming because it's at a global scale. You know, you're hearing, oddly, this year, I think I heard maybe like 6 case studies from the UAE. There's a ton of work happening.
Yes. That
was like out of the, I don't know, 10 or 12 I reviewed, there was like 6 from there. It was really interesting. I was like, huh.
One of those was a like a walkthrough museum tour almost, wasn't it? Like it, and it had like a really beautiful soundscape to it. I remember that one.
I don't know if I reviewed that one because they select, you know, because they're, say there's 20 submissions.
Sure.
All get random 12 and you get a random.
I think I only saw one or two from that area. So you probably saw way more, but I loved that soundscape.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it won an award this year. So
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, you know, the easy pull, I think, is to really lean on heritage instrumentation, you know, for those regions, which is appropriate, you know, but maybe on the nose. And this is dependent, obviously, on the client and what they're looking for. They get last say. But I thought there were some really good examples there of how do we marry heritage with modernity of or you know Western not modernity, just more Western influence. I thought it was interesting. There's some really good stuff there.
There was also another one, and I'm pretty sure it won an award too, the water treatments
that I didn't see ended that up one.
I think he was in Germany somewhere, but he was making these water treatments for the middle of offices because you'd hear the water and it would calm you down.
Cool.
And they were just they looked like works of art, but they also had sound to them, which was very cool, like
so
deliberate sound.
He was building the fountains themselves
It was kind of like a fountain. Yeah. So it was a water feature that would sit in the middle of an office or wherever you wanted to put it.
Cool.
And it would have a sound associated with the trickling or spewing of water.
That's
and it
cool.
was. Yeah, it was just so many really imaginative things that you could do with sound
that
make your environment way more vibrant.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I love being on the panel, you know, because it's you see a brand that comes out with, you know, whatever it may be, a brand anthem, sound logo, UX, experiential, And you're like, oh, I think I know this brand and what it should sound like. And then you hear it and you're like, oh, wow, I wouldn't have thought about it that way, you know, which is cool. That's a cool thing to experience.
Yeah. Being able to offer something unexpected is very cool.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And it's nice to hear that the International Sound Awards are expanding because, yeah, the amount of entries I was seeing from all over the world was really outstanding.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's nice to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll see what happens next year. I'm looking forward to more.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So I want to ask you if you could leave one message about the power of sound for future generations. I know you must have an opinion on this. What would you tell people?
Use deliberately. Be careful with overdoing it. Simplify. Again, going back, it's a little redundant, but
less is more.
Less is more. I mean, honestly, this is kind of a mantra almost of life for me at this point. Just simplify, simplify, simplify. And, you know, I see this a lot with maybe new designers that are coming to this space that are more composition, you know, musical, you know, or just composing more music generally. You know, when I pull them in, I'm like, hey, let's give it a try. Let's try it on UX. You know, let's give you a shot on UX, see how you do. Oftentimes they're just very ornate, you know, intricate, over layered, you know, UX concepts. And it takes time to kind of learn that concept of simplicity and having the confidence to be simple, you know, and because it's at the end of the day, it's about clarity. That's not just UX. I mean, that's anything. I mean, if you think about State Farm, for example, the work that we did for that, you know, any designer that's listening to this or agency owner or composer or whoever you may be, you would hear that and you'll say, yeah, it's not that crazy. It's not that amazing. Like it's in, and I'll admit it's not, but it's very suitable for that brand, for the context of their advertisements. And that's the goal of the work, you know, and being able to present that, and there's a reason behind it, you know, and really the iconic nature of that example is the melody, you know, a melody that's been around for so long. But I think that's what I would say is just, you know, use lightly, be careful with overusing and polluting, and simplify.
Yeah. I can see how that would be very helpful for people to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when it comes to State Farm, you're hearing that logo a lot.
A lot.
Right?
Yeah.
So the last thing you want for it is to become annoying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I give them a lot of credit because they use that so frequently. And that's why they have so much success. I mean, it is an iconic melody in and of itself, but it is that repetition and it is that usage, you know, whereas I feel like a lot of sound logo projects that come in, you know, will get to the finish line and they'll be excited to use it. And then a month or two later, they'll be like, we're not seeing quite the results that we'd hoped. And it's like,
you're not going to see it after a month.
A, you're not going to see it after a month, but B, you know, you got to use it consistently, you know, and potentially in multiple places. So, they're, you know, State Farm does it right. They've used it very, very well.
Yeah, I've had that discussion with a lot of audio branding people in that they work on things and then the client doesn't use it consistently and then wonder why it isn't effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's your answer right there.
I mean, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think with sound logos, there's a big resurgence, I would say, in the last 3 years on companies really feeling like they need one, which I think is, you know, smart. But I think it depends on the brand, it depends on the industry, all these things, right? I don't think every company needs one necessarily. But
who do you think does need one?
Does?
Yes. Who does need one?
Like specifically or?
No. Oh. I'm not asking for specific companies. Yeah. I'm just like a type of company that you think would really benefit from this kind of thing.
Well, I think when you learn it or when you see, take a look at industry, for example, like insurance, mm-hmm. yeah. they all are playing that game. Therefore, oh, yeah. you kind of need to have something in the mix. You know, it needs to be differentiated, but
yeah, insurance is an interesting little industry there. And I've had this discussion before as well. And often we'll talk about this because insurance is such a boring industry that they have to do something really outlandish to get your attention.
Totally. Yeah.
So that's why they have these spokespeople. Yeah. It's why they have these really iconic audio logos, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
100%. I think
maybe banking is one of those things.
Finance, you know, I think is a good place. Automotive, I think, is an important one. I mean, majority of automotive companies, brands have, there's Coda. That's my new dog.
he's cute.
Thank you. But automotive space, like the majority of heritage brands have that as part of their brand and marketing materials. Some don't use it. Like, you know, Nissan uses theirs all the time. Lexus uses theirs all the time. Kia does now. Hyundai kind of does. Who was I just thinking of? Who was it? BMW doesn't. Mercedes doesn't use theirs.
Yeah. It's funny. Some of the higher end ones just are not. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You know, it's like when you think of even the newer players, you know, startups, I wouldn't consider Tesla a startup anymore, but they don't really advertise, you know, because I worked with them and it was like, you know, what do you think about a sound logo? And, you know, and they're like, we don't really advertise. It's like, well, you don't need one.
I guess not then.
yeah. So yeah, it's interesting. A lot of companies are wanting a sound logo these days, but mm-hmm. they don't have an immediate use case they're a little timid to use it consistently because of a couple of reasons. Number one, just being simply time in an advertisement. If it's a 15 or 30 second, like that, anywhere between 3 and 1.5 seconds, you see people on marketing teams.
Oh, they freaking hate out knocking down the. You know? I have had to work on scripts like that as a voice talent. Yeah. And let me tell you, that is a tough one.
It's tough. You got to get it in there. But I mean, a lot of these marketing teams aren't committed, you know, and they're a little just shy and timid about taking up real estate there. But I think.
Especially in radio.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. When it's only audio. It's interesting to because they want to just squash everything into one little huge block.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you say, 1.5 to 3 seconds of that is taken up with a logo and you got to squeeze it all in and they don't want you to miss any words.
I mean, I get it. You know, I totally understand. But I think you have to have a level, if you're going to jump into a project like that, you should have a level of commitment. And a level of alignment at a leadership level. And, you know, it's not always that simple or that easy. But it's just disappointing whenever you go through a project like that and it kind of never sees the light of day, you know, or gets traction because it does happen a lot. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. But I think it has to do with, you know, the time there. Also, I think audio has always been kind of an afterthought, you know, within brand ecosystem.
Hence the reason I have this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, but I think it still holds true. It's getting better. I think it's gotten better. But I do think it is still a little bit of an afterthought and people are just kind of like, you know, I'm seeing those tides change a little bit, but hopefully it'll flip. And I think it is because there is just so much more inbound interest that gives me hope. You know, and I think we're going to be with that new technology we spoke about across various levels, not just wearables. It's going to be audio dependent.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now, I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
There's a lot coming, I think, that we have yet to see.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I'm kind of aware of my own bias. Like, I would say, like you, that I think people are thinking more about sound, but then it's kind of like, you know, speaking of cars, if you want to buy a certain car,
yeah.
you start seeing that car on the road
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So it might be my own bias. Yeah. I don't know.
Manifest it.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you working on now that you can talk about?
Let me see what I can speak to.
Or in general terms, if you want.
Yeah, I can't, unfortunately, these projects in flight. I can't
yeah.
speak directly to, but it's a mixed bag. A couple traditional kind of sonic branding projects, mainly audio logo and variations focused. And those are really exciting. Big brand, you know, big, it'll make some noise out in the world. Across products, a couple really awesome, probably the most exciting time, I would say, in my career with just new inbound clients, you know, that are across a range. I'm trying to like muddy my words, be careful about how I speak to it, but industries that you might not expect, you know, old school industries that are becoming more tech focused, for example, without getting too specific, which I think is interesting because I think sound is in technology starting to touch industries of old that are, you know, modernizing. And then also kind of, you know, home environment, you know, appliances and things like that, which not the sexiest industry in the world, but I think a very important space because it is our homes and environments that we're designing for.
It's funny. I thought we'd be seeing a lot more of that by now.
Yeah.
And I have seen not very much of it, which surprised me. So,
yeah.
If they're working on a little more of that, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think it is a good thing. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges in that space just on the technology that's used and what is
capable.
Well,
I imagine your UX experience would come in very handy for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty technical, obviously brand is a big part of it, but a lot of the concepts and conversations I have are really about the technical side of it because it is a very big part. But yeah, I think, I mean, right now it's super exciting because it's like I'm working on very emerging technology. I'm working on very older kind of industry segment that is kind of stepping into new technology, working in home material. I'm working in automotive. So it's a good balance. That's keeping me engaged. You know, I that's what I love about, you know, working for myself and, is the variety. You know, there's just a ton of, because if I went in-house at a brand, you know, I think that maybe someday that could be cool, but you're just kind of locked into one particular zone and, you know, maybe working on one product or two products for 3 years. And, whereas, you know, I'm working on, you know, 10 to 15 brands and various applications and industries and intentions, which is really cool.
That is great.
Yeah. Keeps me engaged.
So, yeah, definitely makes it different. Every day is different.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I love about my job.
Yeah.
Like voiceover is the same way. You
totally.
Know, I'm always working on a different project every day and it just keeps it interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So is there anything that you want to leave us with sound wise just before we end off here?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a great conversation. Just really appreciate it. And, you know, any listeners, feel free to touch base anytime.
How can they do that if they want to get in touch with you?
I would go to my website, cmorresound.com, See More Sound, and check out the contact page. That's the best way. But I often take on, you know, interns. I have one on right now. Sometimes I'll take on two. But also talent out there, you know, people who are composers who have, or strategists or creative directors who have worked directly in the UX or brand space, you know, please touch base because I'm always looking for help on projects.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Connor. This has been really insightful, and I've enjoyed talking with you about this a lot. You have a great perspective.
Thanks, Jody.
Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.